You're tuned in to the Awesomeo NBA Strategy Show.
Oh, now I can hear it.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing. Yeah.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Thursday, January 27th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher, and we are brought to you by Prize Picks. Big one here. Two-game slate. Feels like we haven't had one of these in a while. While it has been bouncing around for some truly big slates, I don't feel like we've had too many two-gamers this season, so this one feels a little bit different. Completely kind of changes the scope of everything that you do, the way that you talk about it, the way that you have to play. People that you would never even mention will be very much in play on a day like today. So we have a ton to talk about. Before we do anything, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Adam, how are you? How did yesterday go? Did you play?
Yeah, I played. It was kind of whatever. Lost a little bit. Didn't get killed. Didn't win. Was winning the $88 on DraftKings pretty late into the night, but it was one of those like really annoying ones where I knew that I was going to plummet. It was just a matter of when, and then it took longer than it really should have. So I just kept like looking at it like, oh, maybe Cameron Johnson will roll his ankle and I'll win. But
to be fair, you did have to, maybe this guy will get a hole out eagle and that worked for you. So, you know, stranger things.
True. Yeah. Didn't happen. So it was just kind of a normal night.
Yeah. I did not play. I just did not want to spend the time last night. Finally feel, I don't want to say back to normal, but like after being gone from Tuesday to Sunday and missing an extra day from travel, like I'm back to what I feel like my normal is. Best night of sleep I've had in ages. I'm ready to attack the day. And unfortunately, we've got this two-game garbage barge.
That was actually why I ended up playing last night, because I wasn't going to play either, because I was just like, I don't feel like dealing with this. And then I was like, whatever, I'll just play. Probably like 10 minutes after I finished registering, we get the James Harden downgrade. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be even worse than I thought. But like, I knew today was two games. Tomorrow I'm going to the Rangers game, so I'm not playing. And so I'm like, man, and then Saturday I'm supposed to at least be traveling. So it was like, well, if I don't play tonight, I'm probably just not playing for the next 3 days.
Are you going to play? I don't know if this even exists. Will you play like Showdown for that game or anything, just for something to sweat?
For the hockey? No, not for hockey. I don't even know if it exists. And if it does, I'm sure there's not enough money for it to be worth the time.
I mean, I'm not telling you to like put in a ton of time, but just like randomly jam 150 for something to track while you're there.
Yeah, but I'm saying like for Hockey Showdown, like I can't imagine there's more action available than like $10 to win like 20 or something.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I assume that it doesn't exist. I don't even know if Hockey Showdown is a thing.
Yeah, like I have absolutely no idea.
There's a Hockey Showdown tonight for Nashville Edmonton. $3,000 prize pool, $1,000 to first. Maybe that's like a $5,000 prize pool on a Rangers game because it's the Rangers. But so you're probably right. How could you care about that when you just ship PGA?
I had already thought about maybe just playing the hockey slate, but I'm going to dinner beforehand and just not going to deal with it.
Don't blame me. I'm just kind of trying to spin our wheels here for a little bit just because we have more than enough time to do this and not a lot to talk about. 34 seconds ago, we got ownership. So that's really what I was spinning my wheels for, hoping that popped up, and it has. So I guess now is the time where we dive into this one. Are you ready?
Yep.
Oh, this is going to be fun. My boy is the chalk play of the day on FanDuel. So this should be good.
Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah. I mean, obviously a little bit more warranted on a two-game slate, but we'll get to it. We're going to kick it off with the Lakers. Lakers are 2.5-point dogs in Philly, 219 total. On the Lakers side, it's just sort of their team. We don't really have anything that we don't know about. Kendrick Nunn has been out for the entire season, not in today. AD is probable. So, and they signed Stanley Johnson to a two-year deal, which I assume isn't actually a two-year deal, but neither here nor there. LeBron, 50% owned on FanDuel, 32% owned on DraftKings. Clearly ownership going to Russ and AD, Malik Monk, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, like everybody that is normally in the rotation and playing 10 plus minutes is going to be gaining like 10 to 20% ownership by default, just simply because of the slate size. The bigger question for me to you is this. How do you feel about LeBron on today's slate? Because he is not my preferred pay-up option, and he's also not second.
Yeah, I think that's – but when you factor in price, I think that's fair.
Okay.
You have Davis back. Davis only played like 24 minutes last game, but I assume that's going to increase relatively quickly.
I went to 28 on Davis today.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fair. LeBron does have the point guard small forward on DraftKings, which is nice, makes him a little bit more valuable. But call it 1.3 to 1.4 DraftKings points per minute is fine, but you're getting more than that from Embiid. Towns is in that range for a lot less. Curry is in that range as well, playing fewer minutes, probably a minute or two less, but also less expensive. So I think I'm with you.
All righty. And again, that's not to say that I don't like LeBron or I'm not playing LeBron, because clearly the dude's got to be in a chunk of your lineups if you're playing a two-game slate. Otherwise, you're in some big trouble. But I don't see him as the preferred option for me, especially if we talk about him from a FanDuel sense, where he's $10,700, $700 behind Embiid. Both Embiid, LeBron, and Curry, or LeBron, Embiid, and Curry are all 50% owned. I see LeBron as the third best option in that group. On FanDuel, he is small forward eligible, power forward eligible, $10,700. I just prefer Curry and Embiid there. I prefer Towns there as well. So I actually prefer Tobias Harris at $8,100. Maybe we just end up having enough salary that it doesn't matter and you can get to him pretty easily, but I'm a little lighter on LeBron. I actually have a little bit more interest, or basically the same interest, in Russell Westbrook. Doesn't feel good. $7,800 on FanDuel, $8,500 on DK. I think the only piece that's really difficult to get to in this one is Anthony Davis, and that's a DraftKings specific thing. He's $9,800 and just center eligible. On FanDuel, he's $8,900, but he also has the power forward eligibility. That kind of changes the game for whether or not you want to get to AD. On DraftKings, I mean, that's just a pretty aggressive contrarian play.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously really tough to get there. He's only projected for like 4% ownership, so that would be the argument, is you get Anthony Davis at 4% ownership on a two-game slate, but we still only have him with like a 6% chance of being optimal, because it's really difficult to project him for more than 28 to 30 minutes at this point. And in 28 to 30 minutes, for him to be optimal at center only is really difficult. So not a whole lot to say there, other than I guess it makes some sense to consider a 4% on Anthony Davis.
Yeah, like he came out of my Sims at 6%. Really, what you're hoping for on Anthony Davis is he plays more minutes than you think he was going to play.
Yeah, exactly.
And every one of those minutes becomes so significantly valuable. Like the difference between taking him from 28 to 30 probably makes him like a 15% owned play on DraftKings instead of a 4% owned play, maybe more. What else do we do with this LA team, though? Because that's where it gets crazy. Clearly, you're rostering a bunch of these guys down the line. Monk, Anthony, Stanley, Johnson, Avery Bradley, Talen Horton Tucker. To me, the two best options that you can find down the line are Stanley Johnson and Talen Horton Tucker, at which point I don't feel very good about it. The real question to me is, does Dwight Howard play in this one?
I think it's a good question, just given the matchup.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be shocking, I guess, if he could start in place of Stanley Johnson, I guess, or just come off the bench, yeah. Take some minutes away from, I don't know, Melo, Horton Tucker, somebody.
Yeah. Look, like, we'll know that, so the intrigue about Dwight Howard isn't as appealing. I don't think that if he's coming off of the bench with just center eligibility, you can really feel comfortable even giving him anything other than maybe one random rotation because something went wrong. But if he starts $3,100, like I bet, like even if you're giving him 12 minutes, he becomes an interesting play today.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I see it too. Like if he's not starting, yeah, maybe he plays, but also maybe he doesn't. And it obviously becomes really, really risky. If he starts, like it's still risky, but you at least know he's getting on the floor. So
yeah,
$3,100 for him would carry some appeal. And as far as the wings, I'm also interested in Malik Monk at $4,500 on DraftKings. Both guard positions, played about 27 minutes last game. We know that he has upside. I don't know why the Lakers don't play him more, but we know that he does have a ceiling.
Yeah. I like Monk. He was just sort of like appropriately owned at that point. I was a little surprised to see Talen Horton-Tucker and Stanley Johnson be as low owned as they were. We saw Stanley Johnson play 29 minutes two nights ago. Not that I necessarily expect him to do that every time. I only gave him 24 in this spot, and he's a three quarters of a fantasy point performer to begin with. But the fact that he is power forward eligible at least gets him into lineups in a better way. Similar story for Talen Horton-Tucker. Like, he played 18 minutes the last time out, played 22 the game before that. Seems to be pretty set in like the 18 to 22 range. If he gets to the top end of that at 3,500, it's just another value piece. You really just have to mix and match here. I think the bigger question for the Lakers is, what kind of groups are you setting for this team?
I think I don't want... All right, so I don't want more than one of like the... Or I guess probably max two, since it's a two-game slate, of like Monk, Johnson, Horton-Tucker, Reeves, Bradley.
Yeah.
I don't care, obviously, about LeBron, Davis, Westbrook, whatever. Sure. To answer the thing in chat about Anthony Davis' minutes, I can almost guarantee he did not play limited minutes last game because of his performance. he did have some foul trouble, and then he lost a minute or two at the end of the game. Like, I think he was going to play 26 minutes or so had he not subbed out for fouls and then lost a minute at the end of the game. But, yeah, there's no... If Anthony Davis plays well, he plays more. He's going to play as many minutes as they physically want him to play. They're not putting dudes in because they're not happy with Anthony Davis's performance.
Did they take him out for fouls, really? Does it look like they took him out for fouls, at least?
Yeah, he had a slightly abbreviated third quarter rotation. He only played 4 minutes, picked up back-to-back fouls, and left the game.
Hmm. Did he come back in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, came back in at the end of the third. But he played like 13 minutes in the first half. In the second half, he only played about 10, 11 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think 28 to 30 is sort of the only range you could really go to from a projection standpoint today. You can hope for more. There's no telling like when he just gets unleashed, but
I don't know what this person is talking about. If Dwight doesn't play, I can see it. But if everyone's healthy, AD is playing 25 again, no doubt. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know that at all. This is an injury management decision.
So, the other players on the Lakers have zero to do with this decision.
Correct.
Like, what are we talking about? Anthony Davis isn't some like fringe rotation guy here.
No. It doesn't matter who's available for LA, who's on the team, who the rest of these guys are. Anthony Davis's minutes tonight are fully based on how many minutes they think he can handle coming back from a 8 week injury.
They can add James Harden and a healthy Kevin Durant before the game, and if Davis is healthy enough, he's still playing 36 minutes.
Yeah. I was surprised. I'm just surprised that they even took him out for foul trouble. It's not like they gave a shit if he was gonna foul out.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So I don't know, like, it could be anything there. I assume you'll be in the same boat, landing somewhere 28 to 30.
Yeah.
Seems reasonable. If he played 13 in the first half, even if you just want to assume that that could have been 13 again in the second half, that's 26. You generally ramp people up from a game-to-game basis. 28 feels pretty realistic.
Yeah, I'll probably go 30.
This is, and at 30, at 9,800, you can do it. You're going to be different. I mean, he's like, I like Anthony Davis. I mean, he's good. He's 1.3 fantasy point per minute guy in this sort of matchup with everybody else here. But I find the Lakers to be incredibly difficult today because they're just so garbagey outside of their top 2.5.
Yeah. Like every player from a fantasy like point per minute standpoint on this team sucks, except for Malik Monk, and his minutes are kind of hit or miss. Westbrook, who relative to his salary still kind of sucks when everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
Davis, who is most likely limited, and LeBron, who is priced to be a better fantasy option than he currently is with everyone back.
Steven Leibowitz says, what's AD's ceiling at 28 minutes? I have it at 51, which is probably, you know, an aggressive output, but 1.8 something fantasy points per minute, maybe a little bit higher than that. And if he goes for 50, like, that's probably a decent score for you today.
Maybe.
Do we talk about Austin Reeves at all? 3,600 across both sites. Point guard, shooting guard on DraftKings. Played 25 minutes this last time out. Not a great fantasy performer, much like Stanley Johnson and Avery Bradley. But again.
Yeah, I was going to say he is in the Avery Bradley, Stanley Johnson bucket where, like, yeah you're going to play some because he's really cheap and you need to fill out a lineup. But he's not a good fantasy producer at all.
Well, here comes Jay Truth out of the comment section of yesterday's videos. Do I still think the Clippers roster without Kawhi and George is better than the Magic, Houston, and Sacramento? Probably, yes.
Why would your opinion have changed since yesterday?
I don't know. It makes no sense to me either. I mean, I don't know how I could think, like, in my mind, I always think Sacramento is better, but I have no reason to suspect the Clippers would be worse than any of those three teams if they started the season with no Paul George and no Kawhi Leonard.
I feel like I don't know.
I mean, we're talking about garbage basketball teams. I don't have much else to say there. Anything else for the Lakers?
No. Somebody asked best. Where'd it go? Best play under 5K on the Lakers for FanDuel single entry.
It's got to be Monk, right?
That's what I was going to say. I was just double checking to make sure he was under 5K. Yeah.
Talen Horton Tucker has shooting guard small forward as well. I have Monk 0.9 of a point higher, and I think the minute ceiling is higher. I don't think that those guys are all that different because of that extra flexibility. So. I don't know. To me, it's Monk or Talen Horton Tucker. Those are my answers.
I lean Monk just because I think you get a little bit higher ceiling.
Stanley Johnson, small forward only on FanDuel. All righty. Well, before we get to the Philadelphia 76ers, let's talk a little bit about the schedule we have for the rest of the day. And I will do that once I actually pull it back up in front of my face. NFL strategy show coming up at 11 a.m. We've got the Fan Up NFL show coming up at noon. The Odd Shopper betting show at 1 p.m. NHL strategy show at 2. The 3:30 Jock Market NFL show. Then Adam will be back at 5:30 for the NBA deeper dive. And then we'll finish it off with the 6:30 NBA live before lock. Player projections for the NBA and player projections for the NHL are both free tonight. We move it over to Philly, where Seth Curry and Shake Milton are still both out. Danny Green is questionable. So we'll start at the top. Joel Embiid, 11-4 on FanDuel, 11-4 on DraftKings, 50% owned, and to me, fully warranted.
Yeah, completely agree. He's just been a completely different player over the last month and a half. It's like 41% usage rate, averaging nearly 1.8 DraftKings points per minute. Fast-paced Lakers team, not nearly as much opportunity cost on this slate as you have on most slates. Embiid looks fantastic.
Yeah, he's probably the easiest guy to talk about. Like he's been nuking as of late, and it's a two-game slate. Like you just got to have him. The rest of this team is interesting because I actually don't think that Joel Embiid is the best play on Philadelphia. I actually think that is Tobias Harris. 8,100 on FanDuel, 7,300 on DraftKings. He's pulling slightly less ownership, but to me, $7,300 Tobias Harris, given the amount of minutes he's been playing as of late, is just a little bit easier to get to than Joel Embiid is at just center. Now, clearly, Joel Embiid a much higher raw point ceiling, but I love Tobias Harris today.
Yeah, I think he looks good. Salary certainly affordable. 7,300, you're assuming he's going to play 35, 36 minutes. Played 39 last game. I mean, obviously, you can get more, but he's a point-per-minute guy, even during this stretch where Sixers fans hate him and he's getting booed by the home crowd and all that. He's still averaging a fantasy point per minute, so there's no real reason to be concerned about the production. So, yeah, I think he looks very good.
Yeah, pace up spot two against the Lakers. You know, it's not the best defense in the world, although AD being back will improve it. We've also got a ton of ownership coming into Tyrese Maxey, 5,800 on FanDuel, 6,400 on DraftKings. Do you got to talk me out of this one for once?
No. Whenever guys are out, I'm always interested in Maxey because he just plays a million minutes. And you don't have Seth Curry again today. You still don't have Shake Milton. Danny Green's questionable.
He's not playing more than no more than 24 minutes today, even in a best case scenario.
Yeah. And so like last game, you got 35 minutes from Maxey. I think that's a very reasonable projection now that you have Matisse Thybulle back to soak up some minutes. But like if he's playing really well, you certainly could get an extra few minutes from Maxey too.
I still have him in for 38, just given what he's been playing.
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
Averaging 38 over the past 8 games. You know, that's with Seth Curry out for 3 of them, Matisse Thybulle out for 5 of them, Danny Green being out for all but 1 of them. So I could see it coming down to 36, but ultimately still looks good. I think the real question will be, how many minutes do we give to Furkan Korkmaz? Because he's going to be pretty chalky. You know, he's mid-30s in ownership. He's 4,500 and 4,800 across FanDuel and DraftKings. Shooting guard, small forward, so fits everywhere on DK. Does he tumble a bit into like the 28 range, or does he just continue to maintain this massive 34 to 38 minute range that he's been playing over these past couple games with Curry out?
I think he's someone that depends on Danny Green.
If Danny Green's out, then this just continues.
Right. If Danny Green's out, I think you're once again getting 34 to 37 minutes somewhere in there from Korkmaz. If Danny Green's back, I think it makes it more likely you get like 30-ish. But yeah. At the same time, I mean, you still had – so like Charlie Brown only played 4 minutes last game. Isaiah Joe played 21. You could, in theory, I guess, just have Danny Green take those minutes and you get the same rotation. But I would take a couple minutes off Korkmaz if Green is back, just because Niang only played 21 minutes last game, and then you also have Green. So there's just a decent chance that somebody takes a couple of minutes away from Korkmaz.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. Is Andre Drummond the sneaky most interesting thing going on for Philly today? Although I guess it's not sneaky. He's already 21% owned, and I agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, 3,800 for Drummond should just never be a thing.
It's a wild one today, especially with Embiid pulling 52% ownership. Is there any scenario where you would have them together today?
I was kind of just thinking that as we were talking. I don't, like, it's not ideal, but I don't hate it. I wouldn't want it in like every lineup or anything, but typically the way I kind of try and think about that is you have to consider opportunity cost, and with it being a 2-game slate, there's not a lot of it. And then you kind of have to consider, and this, it's related to opportunity cost, but like, can they both give you what you need in the same game? And I think the answer is yes. Like, if you give Embiid 32 minutes and you give Drummond 16 minutes, Embiid still has like a mid-50s projection, which would be good on this slate. And Drummond has like a 20 to 21 point projection, which at 3,800 is probably good on this slate. So I don't hate it. And then it's also a way to be different because a lot of people just won't do it. So I definitely don't want like a ton of my lineups to have it, because still the true ceiling for Drummond is Embiid gets in foul trouble. And in that case, obviously you don't want Embiid. So I think that's clearly why you wouldn't want to do it. But I do think they both can give you good scores in their average playing time.
Yeah, with Drummond being like a 1.35 to 1.4 fantasy point per minute guy and only a $3,800 salary, he can just fall into it if it breaks correctly. And, you know, Embiid plays 32 and Drummond plays 16. And with the way Embiid's been playing, if he's getting 1.7 something fantasy points per minute or more, the raw points just might get you there anyway. Right. So I don't mind it. I know people would ask. Let's say Danny Green is in. How do you feel about $3,400 Danny Green?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd rather go to $3,600 Matisse Thybulle or $3,500 Niang.
Thybulle coming right back into 33 minutes is really interesting. If Danny Green is back, does that happen again, or is Thybulle playing like 28?
In this game, I think it's likely he plays 30 plus again.
Makes some sense. 27% owned right now. I think he scares me the most of anyone on Philly.
Yeah, I mean, the ownership is concerning because you're not talking about a great point-per-minute guy, but he is also really cheap. I mean, for right now on DraftKings, we have him at 27.5% ownership with a 32% chance of being optimal.
Yeah, I also have him as a positive leverage guy, so it just makes me nervous. Feels like, I don't know. And I only give him 30 minutes, too.
Scares me today. Speaking of the boom-bust tool, I think that's another way you can kind of, like, try and work out the Embiid with Drummond problem in your head, using just, you know, what we have them projected for, Embiid has a 50% chance of being optimal at 52% ownership. So about, you know, correct. Drummond has a 28% chance of being optimal, 21% ownership. So, like, yes, a lot of the spots where Drummond is optimal are going to be ones where Embiid was not. But I think it still suggests that there's a little bit of middle ground there.
Yeah, I definitely think you can get there with the two of them. Is there anybody we're missing here for Philly? I don't think we're going to like Isaiah Joe or Charlie Brown at this point. So
I kind of mentioned Yang, but I think that's a spot you can go to in tournaments, just you know, hoping to get lucky. Like he's right now, he's projected to be on about where he should be. He played 21 minutes last game, but if he's knocking down shots or Korkmaz isn't or Dybul's in foul trouble or whatever, you can certainly get more minutes.
Groups for Philadelphia?
Max two of Korkmaz, Dybul, Niang, Joe, Green, Brown.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And then any combination.
I almost said max one of them beat Drummond just out of habit, but
yeah. And then makes no difference to me about like Maxi, Harris, Embiid, whatever.
No, I mean, the closing lineup is Harris, Embiid, center, and then two of those other guys.
You're going to have to say it. Maxi, Harris, Harris, Embiid, center.
Oh, yeah, Maxi, Harris, center.
Okay. I was like, all right. So there, did Kurt Rambis go to the Philly now? And we're getting the two centers again?
Yeah, yeah. We're closing this one with Drummond alongside Embiid versus Jordan alongside Howard.
Oh, what a legendary matchup. AD at the three in that scenario?
Yeah.
All right, I've got nothing else for Philadelphia here. Let's talk a little bit about our presenting sponsor. That is Prize Picks. Go to osimo.com/prizepicks-promo and get yourself one free month of Osimo Plus Platinum. You get a little bit of a deposit bonus if you're signing up at Prize Picks. And we've got a free player props tool on the website that will help you do everything it is that you're trying to do on Prize Picks. You're making player props and you're doing basically what amounts to a parlay card. So I've got a couple here from a fantasy points perspective. It's incredible to me. The only game that is up right now is Lakers Philly. And there's only seven guys on this entire list that are in this game. Obviously you get LeBron, Embiid, Maxi, Russ, Tobias Harris. The other two guys, Furkan Korkmaz, which is like, okay, he's been playing a lot of minutes as of late. And Avery Bradley. How do you feel about over under 13 fantasy points for Avery Bradley? Why is that one of the guys that shows up?
Is it just all the starters?
No, no. It's LeBron, Russ, and Avery Bradley are the only representatives from the Lakers. So I get not putting AD there because, you know, like maybe he sits or whatever, injury management, who knows. But feels like Malik Monk should cut the line ahead of Avery Bradley here.
Yeah, yeah, I think that would be fair. And yeah, I mean, I think that's like the correct line. I have 13. Okay.
Agreed. We've got LeBron at 50.5, which I personally like the under.
Yeah, slightly, but
yeah. And then Russ is 33.5, which just to see it like that feels incredibly awkward given what we've experienced over the past 5 years.
Also think it's correct.
I agree. Here's one that I think you and I will think is probably incorrect. Joel Embiid, 54.5.
Over.
Yes, I agree. And then finally, one that I think is massively incorrect. Tobias Harris, 36 fantasy points.
Slight over.
Okay. Just slight. All right. I got it by a lot. I got him at 1.18 fantasy points per minute in this matchup today in 36 minutes. Tobias Harris fan for this one. And just to close it all out, this one's actually kind of scary. Furkan Korkmaz, 19.5.
Over.
Yeah, it's the over. If Danny Green is out, it's an easy over.
Right.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind having it even if he's in.
Yeah, if he's in, I think it's like basically correct. So yeah. I would right now say the over just because there's a lot of minutes upside there.
All righty. Well, let's move on to the late night hammer game number two, Minnesota Timberwolves, 6-point dogs in Golden State. On the Minnesota side, it's the same we've been dealing with. Patrick Beverley is questionable, as is Jalen Noel. Per the injury designation on Basketball Monster, he has a sacral contusion. I don't know what that actually is, but I know what I picture. No clue what that actually means, though. So assuming that these guys are in, is it?
I don't know. I feel like I've heard that before.
That's not where I keep it.
And made the same jokes.
A sacral contusion. Coccyx. Got it.
Tailbone.
Got it. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, kind of. It's in the ballpark of each other. The whole sacral region, I guess.
Yeah, the sacrum and coccyx are normally close to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have named the coccyx slightly different. It's like the backside's penis. Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell. Am I pop? Did I get a laugh out of Jordan? No, not even a smile, I don't think. God, you're the worst, Jordan. Who's your favorite Minnesota Timberwolf today, and why is it Patrick Beverley if he plays?
Because he's not going to have as much ownership as he otherwise would, because he's probably still going to be questionable at 7:30. He's 4,200, would probably play 28 minutes or so, and averages like 0.9 something fantasy points per minute.
Pretty amazing to see him be 40% owned in our ownership and questionable, given every other person I've seen questionable this year is 2% owned.
Right.
Incredible. But yeah, that $4,200 price tag on DraftKings, if Bev is in, that's the best spot to me from DK. I find Towns, Russell, Vanderbilt all pretty similar relative to salary. Anthony Edwards is 7,300 on FanDuel, looks exceptional there. 8,100 on DraftKings is a bit closer to correct. But I mean, it seems to me that all of the Minnesota starting five, if Beverley is in, look like probably the best.
Yeah, they all look good. Yeah. Edwards, you get the massive ceiling. Like, he can just take over a game offensively whenever. So you get a lot of upside there. Russell's a little bit cheaper. If Beverly's out, you most likely see a bump in assist percentage for Russell as well. Towns is just pretty cheap. I mean, that's one thing that makes getting to Anthony Davis really difficult, is that Towns is $600 less expensive. So, yeah. You know, he looks really good. We mentioned Beverly. Vanderbilt looks fine. And then one other thing on Beverly, at least on DraftKings, the pricing works out really well. If Beverly is ruled out after the first game locks, you can just swap him to Noel. If they're both ruled out, you can, assuming that you're using the guard spot or flex spot, you can just swap to Malik Beasley. Like, you're not going to end up in that much trouble if you play one of these guys and they get ruled out.
Yeah, you're giving up a little bit of salary, but the flexibility is very, very easy to handle. And as you work your way down, those plays get incrementally better if that guy above you starts getting lopped off. So you're not even mad about it. Yeah, like I wish that I had more to dig into for the Towns, Edwards, Russell, Vanderbilt, Beverly section. But like, I had Towns come out of my sim 33%, Edwards 34%. Russell was 29, Vanderbilt was 33. I mean, these guys are just all basically the exact same play. If I give Russell one more minute, they're all 33%. So I'm clearly going to get to all of them. Do we start picking off anybody from the Minnesota bench?
Prince played a lot last game. I don't really know what to make of that. Obviously, Beverly was out. But like, if Beverly is out again, especially if Noel and Beverly are out, maybe $3,100 Prince plays more. You can certainly... So one spot where I don't want them together, but Towns and Reed, like, you could certainly, in lineups you don't have Towns, be playing Reed at power forward and just hoping Towns gets in foul trouble. We know that if Reed plays more than 10 to 12 minutes for any reason, that he's likely to destroy that salary.
I really don't know what to do with Torian Prince's minutes. Like, I don't even know how to get him a lot of minutes.
You need to have Beverly not play.
I guess that's probably what we're talking about here, right?
Yep.
That's the only way that it happens. Okay.
Also, Jaden McDaniels only played 15 minutes.
Yeah. Played 27 the game before that, and that was still getting Prince to 20. So it seems like the answer is no Beverly. You can get to Prince. If Beverly is in, you probably can't get to Prince.
Right.
Yeah, Nasri 3,200. He's like, I mean, if Andre Drummond's going to be 20% owned and Reed is 8 and has power forward, I think that starts to become a little bit more interesting in a GPP.
Yeah, like, they're kind of the same play. The difference is that you can expect Drummond to play like 4 minutes more on average. So you're just talking about him projecting like 5 points higher, which when you're talking about guys that project in that range, it's like a 25% bump. So that's why Drummond looks better. But it's the same idea where for Drummond to really win you a tournament, he either needs to just play out of his mind for 16 minutes, or more likely Embiid plays fewer minutes than normal. It's the same kind of thing with Reed. I mean, if Towns gets in foul trouble or the game blows out or whatever, like, there's a million ways that you can get more minutes. Reed ends up looking really good. It's just that in his average role, he projects for like 12 or 13 points as opposed to 20.
Is there anything else we should be talking about for Minnesota? Groups for the Wolves seem pretty cut and dry in that, like, they're not even all that necessary.
Yeah, I mean, Max 1, Towns, Reed. Max, I would probably go...
Max 1, like, Towns, Reed, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Reed can get there in 10 minutes.
That's fair.
Max 1, or Max 2 probably, of, like, Beverly, Noel, Beasley, McDaniels, Prince, like those guys. I don't think it's really going to matter.
Okay. You ready to close this one out?
Yep.
The Golden State Warriors, 6-point favorites here against Minnesota, 228 total, just to reconfirm that information. And at some point in time, I'll figure out where my depth chart went. Got it. No Draymond, no Andre Iguodala, no James Wiseman. I mean, Golden State's been like sort of normal-ish as of late. We do have Clay for this one. Steph, the highest owned guy on FanDuel at 52%. He's 36 on DraftKings. I'm happy to get to Steph today. It's rare, but today feels like a Steph day, more so than they normally do. Any Steph thoughts? I mean, it's just Steph.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to get to him today than it normally is. Like, normally you have Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, Harden, some combination of like all of those guys. Today it's just really Embiid, and then you're getting a discount to Curry as well. So I think he looks good. I have no issues getting him at 10-3.
Two most owned guys after that are Wiggins in the mid to high 30s and Kevon Looney mid to high 30s, depending on which site you're looking at. Otto Porter as well, pulling about 34% ownership. Who else stands out to you from Golden State?
I think those guys all make sense. Like, if this game... Yeah. If this game is competitive, you're likely looking at 25, 26 minutes from Looney at 4,700. Porter's probably playing around 30 minutes at 5,100. Wiggins is 5,700, probably playing 34 minutes. His usage is impacted by Klay Thompson. Like, he's been the one that really takes a hit, but his salary has also come down. I do think Klay is interesting, though. Like, he's only 5,300. I expect him to play 24, 25 minutes, and I expect him to shoot a lot. I still think that he really has a ceiling, even in his limited minutes.
Yeah. I gave him 26 minutes. I got him in for 27% usage, a little bit lower than what he's been doing. He's just not going to be a 30% usage guy moving forward, but 27 feels about right. And I basically hit our ownership. Yeah. I basically hit our ownership number on the dot. So I'm happy to get to like 30% of Golden State. Who's the guy that you can roster from the Warriors that sort of works as the best GPP play? Because this feels like the spot where if you get that guy right, it could really be the difference between winning and losing. Like, is it a Damian Lee day or a Gary Payton day? You know, guys that aren't really pulling that much ownership. Who can fall into more time here?
It kind of seems like most of the guys are pulling ownership is the thing, because Bielitsa was going to be my first answer. We have him projected for like 15% ownership. We know he's a good point per minute guy. It's just a matter of, you know, how many minutes is he going to get? The answer typically is like 14 to 18. But, you know, he's getting that ownership. Damian Lee was going to be my second answer. He's also getting that ownership. So, you know, I think those are the guys. Those are the first two I would get to off the bench. Jordan Poole at 5,400 probably plays 26 minutes. Don't love that price, but there's at least a ceiling. But the point being, like, all of those guys are getting the ownership they deserve.
Yeah. Kuminga, 4,500, like, his price tag kind of prices him out of this. He could have been that guy, but he is, for some reason, priced way too high in this particular spot.
Groups for Golden when he was starting.
Yeah. Groups for Golden State, probably a little bit more important here.
Yeah. One of Looney, Bielitsa, I think.
Yeah.
One of Peyton Lee, probably one of Porter Kuminga.
Yeah.
Toscano Anderson, like, I don't even know if he plays, but you can throw him.
I gave him 8 minutes. I don't think he's going to show up in enough of lineups for me to care what's in the rest of it.
But I do know if he shows up in a lineup, I don't want Kuminga in it also.
Sure.
As far as the starters go, I couldn't care less.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish that I had more for Golden State here. I really don't. I don't know how to separate these guys all that much.
I'll say max two, Wiggins, Thompson, Poole also.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. It would be very weird for all three of those guys to get it going.
Right. Like, they're all kind of just scoring-dependent guys that are priced similarly. It would be.
You can make a case to me that it's two of Curry, Wiggins, Thompson, Poole.
I don't mind having Wiggins, Curry, and Thompson together, though. Or Poole, like, on a two-game slate.
Man, that's close. I don't know if I would want two of those guys with if Curry is in it. Like, I'd be okay with Wiggins, Thompson, Poole, but I don't know if I'm already getting Curry to 10-3 and he's paying off that salary. I don't know if two more guys that do the same shit that he does gets there.
Curry gets assists, though, like at a higher rate than the other two. And with it only being a two-game slate, like, you could just have a situation where the Philly game is dog shit and these guys, like, you get 50 from Curry, you get 30 apiece from Wiggins and Thompson, and that's enough.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That felt like a little too much.
Yeah, no, like, I agree.
It's probably pinching a bit, yeah.
I think the main reason that I'm okay with it is I actually, there was, like, a two-game late slate recently where I was just, like, rushing and didn't even make groups, or, you know, at least not beyond the obvious. And I just remember having a good lineup at the end of the night where I looked and it was like three, I don't remember the exact three players. It might have been Curry, Wiggins, Poole or something like that. Or Curry, Wiggins, Thompson rather. And when I looked, I was like, damn, like, that's gonna be really tough to get going. And then the game also not be a blowout. And, like, it did. They all just kind of did well and the game didn't get out of hand or anything. So, like, in the context of a two game slate, I don't really want to limit the guys that I think are going to play a lot of minutes, like getting them in the same lineup.
I think that's reasonable. Let's see, 21.3 times 5 plus 36.
And for Ryan Bender in chat, yeah, Wiggins for sure is worse with Clay back, but it's still a two-game slate. Salary's starting to adjust.
That Wiggins-Thompson pool, like, I mean, I think getting that right, that just that trio alone correct is one of the biggest decision points on the slate.
Yeah, and the other thing I was thinking, too, is that, like, I was thinking in terms of closing lineups. I mean, I guess you could get a Curry, Poole, Thompson, Wiggins, Looney closing lineup, but I just don't think it's that likely that all three of those guys close.
Yeah, I mean, I think Poole is the most likely guy to not be closing in that scenario.
Yeah.
By, like, a lot.
Yeah.
He would have to really be cooking. And at that point, it wouldn't surprise me if Clay just didn't close then. Because I think Wiggins has to close.
Right.
And with no Draymond, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. It's going to be insert some center here. Somebody's got to guard Towns or whoever. Like, Towns is just going to eat somebody's lunch.
Kumbuck, it's going to be a monster when Golden State features him. They just tried to feature him like a week ago, and it lasted two games, and they said, okay, you're back out of the rotation.
They're also probably never going to feature him. I think there's a much better chance that he's featured somewhere else than Golden State.
Sure.
Just, they're on a very different timeline right now than Jonathan Kuminga's. It's not to say anything about Kuminga's, like, talent level or anything.
Right, Kuminga's the piece that other teams want.
I need to get Wiseman back. All right, let's just try to sum up this slate. We've got three pay-up options in the tens.
Did Embiid, somebody say that, or are you just throwing that out there?
What do you mean?
That they need to get Wiseman back.
I mean, he needs to just be out on the floor so that they could either shit and get off the pot with him. Like,
oh, sure, okay.
You know, like, he needs to be functional so that you could at least trade him, too.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I thought you were saying, like, that what the team needs is Wiseman to come back.
No. I don't mean, like, he's going to be some sort of impact, but if he's never back out on the floor, you're just losing all the value of a former one pick.
I'm with you.
Embiid, James, Curry, rank them. And if you have, like, same tier for any of that, go for it, too.
Embiid by himself,
Yes.
Curry, LeBron, very similar. I would lean Curry.
Okay. We have the same sort of status here for those three guys. Best play on DraftKings.
Embiid.
Okay. I think it's Tobias Harris for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Not too much to add. Best pay down option.
Beverly / Noel / Beasley. Depending on the slashes being, if the guy ahead of them is out, just go down the list.
Sure.
But I guess Noel wouldn't be the best value though. Like,
it's Dwight Howard if he starts, right?
What'd you say?
Is it Dwight Howard if he starts?
I mean, he could still just play 12 minutes.
3,100.
Yeah, like he's good. I don't know. I think Beverly's the best value if he is in. If not, I think it's Drummond.
Okay. I'm fine with that. If Howard's not starting, I honestly think it might be Stanley Johnson if they're willing to just give him a shit ton of playing time. Not that he's a good per minute guy, but you fall into anything. Ugh. Fun slate. I actually said this morning, I don't really give a shit about the two-gamer. I kind of want to just play two showdowns just to start like getting my showdown sea legs before the...
Yeah.
Seems like that kind of day today. Like, get my workbook built out, make sure that everything is where I want it to be, and just start getting an idea of what I want to do here, because I'd rather be ready for it than what is inevitably going to happen, where it's the first day of the playoffs and we're like, oh, cool, I haven't played NBA Showdown since right. The last day of last playoffs. Might as well hop right back into this bad boy. All right, Adam, injury video in a bit, GPP videos, which you should be really unearthing some gems for that one, and then deeper dive.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of us here on this one. 48 minutes.
I maybe an injury video. I don't know. I know the last two games late, we scrapped it because there were no injuries, and there's kind of...
I mean, you got Danny. It's Danny Green and Patrick Beverly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we could just cut the part of the video where we talked about Beverly to Noel to Malik Beasley and call it a day. Post that up like a Vine. That's all I got, everybody. Thank you for being here. Prize Picks is the sponsor. Check out the link, awesomo.com/prizepicks-promo. Tons of content coming up throughout the day. Be proud of us, guys. 50 minutes on a two-gamer. That's about as good as you're going to get on a day like today without feeding you complete garbage. So thank us with likes. We'll talk to you later.